you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. If you're using a pew Bible, we're on page 689. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to start reading in verse 25. Holiday weekends are nice every now and then, aren't they? Just a nice slow pace getting to church this morning. Enjoyed some fellowship around the table in Hudson Hall. Finest saints we have. It's a nice time just to sit around and catch our breaths every now and then. So I hope it's been that way for you this weekend. Jesus says this, "I praise you, wise and the learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. I will give you rest." I'll read that verse again. Because if you're like me, that just sounds like cold water on a hot day, this invitation. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. College application process if you are already out of college. Anybody remember that? I will say that I give myself some grace, which is my usual approach to my. Do you all tend to give yourself more grace than others, perhaps? And I don't remember going to an SAT prep class, is what I'm saying. I don't remember having tutors to get me through that part and kind of raise my grade as high as it could be. When you're doing your college application process, you are doing everything you can to put your best foot forward, are you not? You're talking about all the service activities you've done and all the hours, and if you need to, you got you, and you just really want whoever it is, and wouldn't you want to be a part of it? At one point, I would like to sit in somebody's office as they review college applications. And be like, really? Why that one and not that one? That black box, one of those black boxes in our world that we just get the results and we have to deal with it. We all want to put our best foot forward, and perhaps there was in your mind when you were applying, maybe there was some teacher that you really wanted to study under. Maybe there's this specialty that you wanted to pursue, who could teach you this, and you tried to get into that school or that internship or that fellowship because you wanted to be with that one person. Now, I want you to imagine if you were that one person. Imagine if you were the person who was the world-renowned fill-in-the-blank. How would that make your heart feel about yourself? Wouldn't there be a part of you that you'd want people to know? That I am something. Out there in the world, I am somebody that everybody would fall over them. If you're like me, it would be hard to be that person and also have a humble heart, would it not? Wouldn't there be a part of you, I'll just share my own heart, if they hasn't happened yet, but if they, and I would say, well, you need to talk to Barbara, my assistant. She'll tell you what food I like. She'll tell you what kind of hotel I'd like to stay in. Peanut M&Ms, only green, please, right? There'd be a part of you that would want to kind of lean into that and like, I am a big deal, and to get to study with me and to be in my sphere of influence, and me to pass my knowledge on. There is a part of all of us that I think we feel that way from time to time, which is why it's so refreshing when you meet someone different than that. When you meet someone that would have every reason to be a big deal. Every reason to be at the top of their game. Every reason for you to want to come before them groveling, hoping that you could study underneath them. And imagine they just walk in and they sit down with you, and perhaps they share their own struggles or challenges, or perhaps they share some of the. When you and I encounter, should be a big deal, and they are kind and unassuming and humble. You and I know how refreshing that is, do we not? teaches his disciples here in Matthew chapter 11. It's one of those passages that you read it, and as you're thinking about what Jesus is saying, there is a part of his character and his heart that just makes you want to love him that much more. That in this time, for example, that he studied under Gamaliel, and he had this huge resume of all these things that he had done, and he had kind of cultivated this resume to be impressive in the eyes of the world, that he had played that game, right? A teacher, he comes as a rabbi, and he is the very Son of God. He is the pre-incarnate Son of God who has humbled himself to take on flesh. He's the person that if you wanted to know the Lord and what it looks like to experience the abundant and eternal life, that you'd want to study under. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people of Jesus' day kind of bought into this whole, let's be something in the eyes of the world. Let's show people how smart we are, how holy we are, how set apart we are. Let's make them think that they don't deserve to be in our presence. They could never study under us, so to speak. And Jesus comes into that kind of world where people are weary and they're tired and they're worn. He, the Son of God, just remember, the Son of God who is a part of creating everything that you and I know and who upholds the universe by the power of his word, humbled himself and came into the world, and he is to come and learn from him. And when you're reading that passage there in Matthew chapter 11, it says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. He's really saying, I'm unpretentious. That in humbling, I'm not walking around at this point kind of trumpeting who I am and the fact that I'm a big deal, and that if you my sphere of influence, then you better become a big deal as well. But he comes and he invites these disciples to come to him like what? Children. I'm just going to tell you one of the favorite things that I do every week in worship. One of the things I love about it is that I'm getting to watch them grow up. I realize themselves up here, but here they come. And then, you know, it's with sadness that I realize that they won't be here for all the children's sermons. They're going to grow out of that, right? But to be around a child is to be around someone who is off the capacity to be pretentious. They just are what they are. And they don't really know if you're a candy on the desk in your office, you can make a friend. There's no sense of I got to be something or I got to show something or I got to fill in the blank to earn your favor or your love or your... come in a very unassuming and humble way. And they can do things in such a way that make us laugh because they don't know all the customs that you and I know or they don't know all the social graces that you and I have. But you and I can look at them sometimes in their naivety and we can find them funny, can we not? That the things that they don't know make them attractive to unmatured. We've grown up. We've become wise. We know, and in the process, you know what you and I lose is humility of heart. You and I lose the ability to be fools in the eyes of the world. And you and I play that game long enough that we kind of keep up the guard and the mask and the resume of who we are. And we hide those parts that we don't want other people to see. And there is a part of us that we think, if I don't do this, I will be rejected even by the Lord. Trying to keep up appearances and be something that you're not and live into some way that is not true to who you are, it is one of the most tiring things you could ever try to do. And Jesus comes and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Is there anybody in the sanctuary today who would love some rest? You're like, that's not fair, preacher. Hearts are longing for rest. And one of the major things that you and I have to get over to experience the abundant life that Jesus would have for us to know whether or not we're going to come to him with humble hearts, believing that his way ultimately is best, and that you and I are willing to be foolish in the eyes of the world in our pursuit of Jesus because we've grown weary and tired with that's just how things are in the world. When I asked you wanted rest, everybody without saying it said yes. Here's a follow-up question. How many of you want to look foolish in the eyes of the world? Huh? How many of us want to look foolish in the eyes of the world? How many of us want to embrace the norms and the values of the kingdom of God that Jesus has taught us and shown us? How many of us are willing to put down our reputation and to put down what other people think? They don't really know how the world works. How many of us are willing to do that? Because I think until you're ready to do that, then you should expect that your life's going to continue to be a life of frustration and hardship, because in many ways you're just going to work. That God's created the universe in such a way that you and I walk in humility and we walk in dependence upon him. And as we yield ourselves to greater obedience that he calls us to, this really strange thing starts to happen and you and I start to experience the right to know. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians that's been rattling around in my brain. There are other things in there, but this has been rattling around recently. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians. He says, lawful, but not all things are what? Helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. And I share that with you in light of what Jesus is saying here, because you and I, when we come to Jesus and his teachings upon our lives, so often we're asking the question, do I have to do this? Or the other question is, well, can I and still be a Christian? When you're working with a youth group, those things usually relate to, you know, things like, can I kiss my girlfriend? Can I hold her hand, or how close can I walk with her, or, you know, those kind of things. Can I be around people who are doing X and not be involved? Those questions of like, where's the line? But all of us in some way play that game with the Lord. And rather than turn our lives over to him in total obedience and trust, be considered a fool for the sake of Jesus, you and I are trying to hold on to a lot of different things at one time. And that is one of the most stressful places that you and I can be. So, give you some examples. If you want to experience the abundant life that the Lord would have for you to know, if you want to find a yoke that is light, think about it in some very specific ways in your life. Start with your finances. Ask yourself a question, am I stewarding what God's entrusted to me in a way that is consistent with his word and how he calls me to steward those things? Or do I think in my heart of hearts that's a foolish approach to life? Right? That advice, but I know better. And I got to do X, Y, and Z to provide for myself and make sure the future's secure and fill in the blank. And then when those things are done, then I'll yield myself more fully to his plans and purposes in this world. If you're going to do that, just know that you shouldn't, and in that area of your life, the rest that the Lord would have for you to know. As it relates, some of us, very frankly, are paid to be here today. I had no choice. Well, I mean, I did. If I miss too many, I have a choice to be free somewhere else, right? But there's a certain grace as someone who is a minister. But I can tell you from my heart of hearts, limit myself to be a part of a life and community of faith like the Lord's given me here at this church, that I was made. I was made to be in deeper community with other people who show up and encourage me and teach me and model faith for me. And so this burden that Jesus gives us as it relates to being in deep community with one another is one that ultimately we were made for, and we find rest for our souls as we limit ourselves and heart wants to do something different. And our own desires and our desires to be well thought of in the world or to be someone that's important or powerful or fill in the blank. All of those things ultimately will keep us from the abundant life that the Lord would have for us to know. And so if you are weary enough, Jesus invites you to come and yoke yourself to him. And there is a yoke involved. And there is a burden involved. There is a call upon your life to greater obedience. It's not go be your own self and experience your best life until Jesus comes back. It's not that. But it is this beautiful and submit yourself to Jesus' call upon your life and walk in greater obedience and believe that doing so will ultimately satisfy the desires of your heart like nothing else in this world will. And as you're out in the world and you see other people who are burdened, whose hearts are heavy and they're worn out, maybe you invite them to yoke themselves to Jesus even as you have. I'd like you to pray with me. A yoke and a burden that ultimately is easy and light. And we confess to you that we are stubborn people, Lord. We are so often stubborn in how it is that we move through life, and we, either because of our own sinful desires or because of our desire to be well thought of by other people, we don't yield to obedience like we should. And we thank you that the one person in the history of the world that thought of as a big deal, that you laid all of that aside and you came to us. And it doesn't matter what our ACT score is or our net worth or how many degrees we have on the wall or what we've accomplished, that you invite all of us humbly and to experience the life that you would have for us to know. So win that battle in our hearts. More and more we pray, help us to yield ourselves to you. We pray that you would use us to invite others to experience the life that you would have for them to know. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you feel like God's calling you to make a public profession of faith in Jesus or to unite with us and be a member here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, I'll be at the front to receive you. Or if you just respond by praying or wherever it is that you're standing.